Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugurpul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombameri, Noonuckal peoples. I'd like to also acknowledge elders of the First Peoples. Sorry, I mixed it up there. I'd also like to acknowledge, the elders of the First Peoples of the land. And elders of recent arrivals, welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. And thanks to Karen Durante for holding the fort for me while I was away the last week up there in sunny Darwin that decided to get cold and windy for a couple of days. So thanks, KD. It's great to be back. As you can see, I've lost touch with what I do on air each morning already. Couldn't even do the introduction without blowing it. My guest today, my guest today is a man he's an author, he's a public speaker, he's a trainer, an educator, and a whole range of other things he does. Visiting the country on one of his many visits, and it's Don Tolman. Don Tolman is a strong advocate for good health and whole foods, or good health via whole foods, should I say. Don, welcome to the program. It's really great that you're able to give me half an hour of your time today.
Well, thanks, Tiger. I appreciate being here with you, and I love what you do. Thank you.
Now, tell us a little about yourself. Where did you grow up? What sort of schooling did you have? Did you live a privileged lifestyle as a young fella? What was it like?
Well, to me it was privileged, but most people would think that I was living in a state of financial poverty. But I loved it. I was a happy guy. I was born in a little teeny tiny community of about 300 people called Star Valley, Wyoming. When I was 2.5, my dad and his brothers, they were miners. And back then, they didn't have the big industrial mining groups. I mean, they were just individuals doing their mining on their own. So we moved to Nevada up to what they called the Hell Hole. It was a mining camp. And there was just a few of us that lived there. Then when I was just over 5 years old, we moved into a tiny little town. Well, to me, it was a gigantic metropolis. It had close to 500 people. And that's where I grew up, and my dad, him and his brothers found so much gold and silver, they were constantly jumping on trains and going to Las Vegas and gambling, and it left my mother and us kids without any real money, so she signed up on welfare or dole, and so I grew up on that kind of a thing, and just went to the local little school. You had to ride a bus for about 45 minutes one way to go to school. But, you know, I was happy. I lived in the mountains, and we had a pond and a lake I could swim in every day. And so it was awesome. I loved it.
Well, and a good country sort of an upbringing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've never lived in the cities. I don't think I could. I don't like the feel. I was a country boy, and even to this day, I live up on the side of a mountain in Park City, Utah. And even though it's a world resort city where the Sundance Film Festival takes place and the Winter Olympics took place there in 2002, and athletes and even movie stars come there, it's a getaway resort city. But I live clear up on the top of the mountain. I look down on everything and got plenty of acreage, and so I'm still happy. It's nice.
Well, certainly things have changed quite a bit for you, particularly with diet and foods and things. Well, have things changed with diet? I mean, you're a strong advocate of good health via wholesome foods. When did you become aware of this? Did you spend some time providing your own food? They're growing gardens and stuff, or as you were growing up as a young fella, when did this awareness develop in you?
My grandfather, my dad's dad, he was a Norwegian guy, and had come to the United States, and he had his own gardens, he had his own vineyard, he had his own orchards of apple trees and cherries and apricots, peaches, all that kind of stuff, and that's what he did. And he raised his own food, he built his own house, and he literally, from the time I was a kid, was my hero. And I spent my time with him, and he showed me how to raise those things, and he taught me about foods and about health that way. And then, of course, time goes on, and I wound up attending Duke University Medical, thinking I wanted to be a brain surgeon. So I studied the neurosciences and did all that kind of stuff and introduced to the pharmaceutical chemical industry and started looking at everything. And then after, you know, just making this short, after seeing the damage and the harm that the pharmaceutical medical industry was doing to most of the people, and understanding the legal terms of what it means to have a practice, for doctors to have a practice, they're just practicing on you, and they can diagnose you. Gnosis means knowledge, dia means split and unknown. When a doctor diagnoses you because of tests, which have a 96% inaccuracy or a false positive, you sign the paper, and that gives them the legal rights and protection to practice anything they want on you. And it's been exposed again and again and again over the last 70 years, but especially just in the last 10 years, that the pharmaceutical industry is a poisonous, toxic industry, and that the medical industry is just pretty much legalized drug pushers, and that the medicines do more harm than good. And that industry makes so much money, they've taken over the food industry. And so they sell a lot of packaged foods, a lot of worthless, lifeless drinks. And people are getting stuck on foods and drinks that have nothing to do with life and health and longevity. And they create effects that you run to the doctor for. So then it gets you on more poisons. And it was caused by yourself by eating these worthless foods and drinks. And people have got to go back to the earth. They've got to go back and embrace the wisdom of the healers and the elders of the indigenous tribes who looked at plants and studied them and understood them and tested them on people and got consistent results over time and distance. That is beautiful, and it works, and it was wisdom, and that beats the heck out of bought and paid off laboratory studies to gain empirical evidence that has been peer-reviewed that is later proven to be absolutely false, and it was a buy-off. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off so much, but we've got to get back to the earth and back to foods and the principles of health.
Now, in a situation where, in this country, let's talk about the dominant culture or settler society, the majority of may not want to go there or may don't know how to approach those blacks or those indigenous people. The best thing to say to them is wholesome food. Describe wholesome food for me. Or whole food, not wholesome. Whole yeah. foods is the key, is it not?
It is. It absolutely is. What has been discovered and been tested in the human experience over thousands of years, and even today's sciences within the physics of the human body, it's come down to understand that the atoms that organize molecules, that organize the cells of the body, when you eat a plant-made food and or even certain plants as healing herbs and things like that, in the same temperate zone of the region of where you live, the sunshine and the air and the physics of nature in the region where you live, you are in harmony at a cellular level with the plants in that area. So if you eat foods that grow under the ground in your region, and on top of the ground in your region, and even up in the trees, and you climb and you pick them, and even certain flower blossoms and other plants and things, the physics of that is in an oscillating atomic frequency that's in harmony with the cellular recognition of all 10,000 trillion cells that make up your body. if you sit there and you drink a Diet Coke, which doesn't have one thing in it of any value as far as health, and it may have aspartame, phosphoric acid, which is concentrated in condensed urine, and all these different things, that's not healthy. It's the plants. That's whole foods. Whole foods is literally taught and referred to as fresh air, clean water, sunshine is even food. Your skin eats the biophotons of sunlight as it shines on the skin. And because the pharmaceutical industry attacked the sun and made everybody afraid of it, and then they sell you toxic sunscreen, which is one of the leading causes of skin cancer, not the sun. And so people forget because they're being indoctrinated into a belief system through the media and even informal schooling where the curriculums are put there by the pharmaceutical industry. We start to believe certain things, and it's just not the truth.
What you're saying resonates.
Foods come of the earth. What's that?
What you're saying resonates with me as a First Nations person, because in a very short period of time, a little over 200 years, we've had our lifestyle change, our diets change, and it's just caused horrific problems with health for First Nations people. But beyond First Nations people, this country, across the world, diet is with dominant cultures is just health is really bad. Now, you've just clarified something and said the key to good health is whole foods, and you've clarified that. The doctors and drug companies. Now, well, tell us about immunizations that we're getting forced to do. My kids often come home and say, "Oh, Dad, I can't." Well, they won't take the kids at school or at the kindergarten unless we sign some form or unless they're immunized. What are your thoughts on immunisation? I'm dead set against immunisation, dead set against it. None of my eight daughters have, and the eldest is 38, has ever been immunised.
No one should ever be immunised. No one should ever have what they call a vitamin K shot at birth. It's not even a vitamin. It's a toxic combination.
John, let me stop you there for a minute. Every First Nations child in this country, that was what my kids did get. First Nations kids got a vitamin K shot because the doctors said they needed it. Now, this is 38, 40 years ago. It's still happening today.
And it's
only the First Nations kids.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. It is a lie, and it can lead eventually down the road to leukemia, arterial collapse in the neck, renal failure. It leads to all kinds of things. And the highest concentration of real vitamin K is in the colostrum of the breast milk of the mother. And they know that. That baby just goes to the breast and it gets all the vitamin K it needs within the first 24 hours of nursing. And that's a fact. And they come in with this toxic, fake vitamin, shove it in, and the number of deaths and the number of leukemias and all these different things. Then they start to get you into the vaccines. And then that can cause autism, cognitive dysfunctions. It can lead to different kinds of cancer diagnostics and all kinds of things. And they do more harm than good, and they don't cure or protect from anything. The only thing that protects the human body, and it was called the protector's inhibitors, is berries. Berries. If people would get a dictionary and look up berry and look at its etymology or its root origins, it comes of the Latin vicinium. And that's where vaccine and vaccinate came from into the pharmaceutical industry. They took that word because the healers and the wisdom of the people was when the berries come on in the spring, you better pig out on the berries. And that's what everyone did because they knew that those berries, raspberries, blueberries, goji berries, all of these different, you know, kakadu berries, all these different berries protect you. And what they found out in medical studies at Cornell Medical is when you eat a food, a whole plant food in season, it circulates in the bloodstream for one full year, and your body will pull on the components of those foods that you ate in the season that it came forward, and it maintains and it protects and it heals. And then it's all used up over the course of a year, but that's okay because now you're back in
the season again.
So you ate in season. It was brilliant.
That's another important aspect you talk about, is eat the fruits and veggies that are in season. Now, there's also, well, hang on, what's the alternative to the immunisation? What do you say to people? They're sitting there listening now. I just got a text from one of our listeners, a First Nations woman. She says, Don Tolman, amazing. My family and I follow his principles of natural health. Thanks for introducing him to our communities. Peace and love. She then goes on to say, we teach. This interview is perfect training, thank you, because we teach some of the principles of Don Tolman in our work that we do. And thank you for the news on the for your discussion on immunisation. We too do not immunise. So that's just a text that's come in from a First Nations mum and a professional woman out there. Now, what's the options, the alternative? We've got other people out there listening and saying, but I have to immunise. What can I do? What are the options? What do you say?
You don't have to immunize. You have your children eat the berries, eat the foods in the seasons, and then you stand your ground. You are an individual, and you have civil liberties, and you have to press it. And the pharmaceutical medical industry, part of their training is to bully you and to put fear into you so that you'll cave in and let them do what they want to do, and they get paid for it. That's their money. That's their business.
So you're saying Whole Foods is your immunity.
You bet it is.
Yeah, right.
Yep. You bet it is. That and sunshine and walking.
And seven principles. You've just mentioned a couple. Your seven principles of good health.
You bet.
Tell me.
That is wisdom that has been tested for thousands of years, and it works. It's fresh air. It's good, clean water. It's sunshine on a daily basis. It's walking. People don't walk enough. They found out that if you'll walk 45 minutes, five times a week, it adds 18 years to your life. They've studied it and published it, and then eating whole foods in the season. And when I get out there and lecture, like in California and other countries, I talk about a raw diet, but I don't mean uncooked. The word raw, R-A-W, that didn't even come into existence until the early 1700s. Raw, R-A, was one of the names that some of the cultures anciently that were healers called the sun. The sun was called Ra amongst the ancient Egyptians, for instance. And what it meant was to have a raw diet meant to eat in the season of the foods. And there are foods that you can cook, and it actually increases the concentration of some of the nutritional components that are critical, especially during cold weather.
Tell us a couple of those foods.
Any of the foods that grow under the ground, the tubers, the carrots, the garlics, the onions, the potatoes.
So they can be cooked. They can be cooked and not lose any nutritional value, but increase
the nutritional value. That's right, and they do not cause chaos in the body.
Okay.
And
now, there's a couple of other things in your seven principles is passion and non-toxic relationships, which I thought was interesting. I attended one of your speeches, your presentations, the last time you were in Brisbane a couple of months back. Passion and non-toxic relationships is an important part of life that we must be aware of.
It is absolutely so critical. Touch, human touch, they discovered new, is everything. When you can put your hands on someone that you love and hold hands and put your arms around one another, put your hands on each other's face and gaze into each other's eyes. We have forgotten. That's what they always used to do. The first thing in the mornings and several times throughout the day, and even as they were getting ready to go to sleep, they would put their hands on each other's face, look into one another's eyes. And that is a connection. It's a window to the very core and the very essence of each other. And if we would do that with our children, if we would do that with our partners, if oftentimes just even with our friends or people that you meet that you just have an automatic feeling of connection and bonding. And so that kind of relationship is non-toxic. And today, too many people are so busy and they have so much to do. They get up in the morning, they look at each other, go, bye, see you later, love you, bye-bye. And there is no connection.
But,
and so all of a sudden, distance comes between them, and then it becomes toxic, and they don't even know why it happened.
We've been talking for about 20 minutes. We've only got 5-10 minutes to go. But all for that 20 minutes, what you've been talking about, what you advocate for, what you promote and stand for, is almost directly opposite to the dominant society, to Western civilization. This touching thing, it's a big no-no in society today. The foods, eat processed foods, keep the dairy industry going, eat more milk, drink more milk, eat more beef, all this sort of stuff. What you've been talking about is in direct conflict to the value system and what people are encouraged to do today. Is there a conspiracy out there? Has this been set up sometime way back beyond us to develop a society like this that's going to spend all its time sick and with disease?
100%. All through the history of the human experience, there's been two groups when it comes to the understandings of healing and health. And one was called the poison makers, and the others were the healers who understood principles of health. The poison makers throughout history have hated the wisdom of the healers. And in the Greek, the name of the poison makers were the pharmakia. It's where the word pharmaceutical comes from. Pharmaceutical literally means poison makers. You cannot patent a prescription or over-the-counter medical drug unless it's poisonous and toxic to the human body. You can't get a patent. And to qualify as a medicine, it has to be poisonous. And every one of those poisons have what they call side effects. There's no such thing as side effects. There's only effects. They call it side effects so that you'll think, oh, that's not going to happen to me. That just happens to a few somewhere else. That's not me. But every single medicine, even over-the-counter stuff that people think is safe, is absolutely poisonous. We've got to learn to throw down all the weapons of war in the fight against disease and forget about it and simply take a different path and embrace where health and life actually come from. If you want to understand death and disease, study death and disease. If you want to understand life and health, study life and health. And that's what you'll have. That is your reward.
Now tell us, over the years, you have undertaken 40-day fasts. In one particular occasion in 1995, you underwent a 40-day fast. At the end of it, you drank a quart, which is equivalent to a litre, a quart of grape juice, and ran 26 miles. Obviously, fasting is important, no question about that. 40 days and then drinking a quart of 2 litres of, 1 litre, sorry, 1 litre of grape juice and then going on a 26-mile run? What, why the 40-day fast? Why a litre of grape juice and then the big run? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing because one of the things that people today do not understand is that to fast means to strengthen or make strong. In today's world, the poison makers have made sure that people think that if you fast, you're starving to death. And that is not true. There's not one animal on the face of this earth, not one. If it's sick or injured, it stops eating. Every single one of them will quit eating. You can see it. You can see it in horses. You can see it in kangaroos. If any of them get sick or injured, they stop eating. Why? Because they know that stopping eating, the energy that it takes to digest, which is 90% of the cellular electric force, if you stop eating, that 90% of the body's energy goes to healing and repair. And so I wanted to test it because the healers around the world that I had met and the indigenous groups that I lived amongst, 17 different groups who were long-lived and disease-free, I wanted to test this thing of fasting. It was even in the Judeo-Christian literature of the Bible. Moses fasted 40 days. John on the Isle of Patmos fasted 40 days. Even the one they called Jesus fasted 40 days. And so I wanted to check it, so I did it. At the end of the 40 days, and the first 3 days, oh my gosh, that was the most miserable part of the whole thing. By day 10, my energy was back. I was up. I was walking. I was swimming on the beach. I had 13 people there with me that had been sent from Cornell Medical, Johns Hopkins, L.A. Port, University of Gainesville Medical. They were all terminal patients. And they came and signed papers that they would take responsibility for their own health. I had them all fast 20 days on water, then switched to juice. I went the full 40 days on water, drank that 1 liter or 1 quart of grape juice. It ran right through me and right out the back door into the toilet, but it electrified me. I could not believe it. And all of a sudden, I couldn't think of anything except to go running. And because the LA Film Factory had filmed all 40 days of these terminal patients and myself doing all of this, they jumped in the back of a truck with their cameras and they followed me. And after about 17 miles, I was starting to get tired and wanted to quit, but the cameraman said, no, man, you've got to run a marathon. This will go down in history. So I said, well, why not? And I felt okay. So I ran the whole 26 miles, finished up. We got it all on film, went back. All of those 13 terminal people went back to their clinics, and every single one of them got a clean bill of health and were totally fine. And that's what I love about the wisdom of the indigenous peoples and the ancestors that we all have and how they understood the nature around them and how we're a part of it and how in the modern world, yes, there is an agenda to get people away from health. A healthy nation means a bankrupt healthcare medical system.
Most certainly. A few nights ago, I think it was Sunday night, 60 Minutes here, spent quite some time exposing sugar as toxic as a poison. It's the first time I've ever seen it on a mainstream channel like this media, and such a big story. Sugar. Tell us about sugar, please.
You bet. There's actually two kinds of sugar, if you just cut right down to it. There's refined, man-made, industrialized, bleached, toxic, poisonous refined sugars. There's also synthetic artificial sweeteners such as aspartame and things like that, which are even worse. There's only one sugar on the face of the earth that is healthy and healing and gives power to the brain and restores memory and cognitive function and energy all through the body, and that comes from foods. It comes from raw organic honey, which is gathered from the flowers and plants. It comes from fruits. And what it is that refined sugars at the molecular level are so small, they're referred to in chemistry as fast sugars. They cross the blood-brain barrier so fast, it sends the brain into chaos. And it sends a signal to the pancreas to release insulin. Insulin is one of the 2 mega hormones the pancreas produces, and it's meant to slow you down, make you lethargic and fatigued, to get you to lay down because the brain thinks you are in trouble. When you eat fruits or honey or other things like that that come from nature, the molecules are so large, it crosses the brain so slowly. The brain tells the pancreas to release the other mega hormone it produces, and that's glucagon, which gives you energy, kicks in the adrenals, and all of a sudden you have more energy than you know what to do with. And what's interesting, I just had, I think it's number 403, and it was one of the people there in San Diego. There were 6 of them that did it at the same time, but it's my 403rd person who were type 1 diabetics. They take 28 days to just cut down and completely get off the insulin. They reduce their dosage by about 5% every 2 to 3 days, whatever they're comfortable with, and they go on a fruit and fresh vegetable diet, and within 30 days to 6 weeks, they are no longer type 1 diabetic. It's over and it's done.
But we're told so often, no, you've got diabetes for life now, you know, you just got to try and live with it and manage it.
You betcha. That way they have money for life.
Yeah.
And the insulin causes neuropathies where they're going to amputate your foot, your leg, your hand, your arm, and it's going to cause you to go blind. They'll blame it on you and your diabetes. It doesn't even exist. It's just toxic sugars.
Tell us about water. Water is required to hydrate the brain. What does that mean? How important is water? Good, clean, fresh water.
Good, clean, fresh water is the second most critical thing to life and health. Number one is air. But that water, science doesn't even know what water is. They know they can evaporate it, and they get two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen that they can measure, but they cannot make water. They can take two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen gas, mix it together, and they can't even make a single drop. They know that they're missing something, and they don't know what they're missing, and they have spent millions trying. Water is the greatest gift on the face of this earth. And it comes from wonderful, pure parents, the sun and Mother Nature. And that water, when you drink plain, pure water, it goes into the stomach, and within 20 seconds, through capillary precipitation, it lifts directly from the stomach into the frontal lobes of the brain. And you can even feel it. If you drink ice cold water, all of a sudden you'll have brain freeze. You can feel it going directly into the brain. Your brain is 93% water. When you don't drink enough water that is the weight of the brain, every 24 hours, your brain becomes dehydrated, and you start to lose cognitive function. You can start to lose memory. You can fall into mental fatigue, and it goes on and on. Water is that critical.
Headaches.
If you don't drink enough water, you'll get headaches. That's the number one cause of headaches, is dehydration of the brain.
All right.
What was that?
Yeah, headaches. All right. Now, it's good. Listen, we've probably got a few minutes left. You're going to have someone knocking on your door. What drives you, Don Tolman? What drives you in life?
My passion, which literally comes from two words, the passing of ions. They talked about it 600 BC in the Greco-Roman period. Passion, the passing of ions, is an energy. That pleasure is the greatest good was the ancient philosophy of the healers. Anything that gives you pleasure is the greatest good. And there are some people that fall into things who find pleasure in things that are destructive. And if you just stay with it, you'll wake up and you'll change directions, because that will be fulfilled and you'll go to a higher level. And what drives me, what is my greatest pleasure, my greatest passion, is helping people who are told they will never walk again and they're in a wheelchair to get up and walk again. And we have about 36 of those people right now. And then to have people who are told they're going to be dead within 3 weeks to 6 months, and, you know, as long as they stop the medications and take a different course, the course of the healers and embracing the principles of health, they get their life back. The biggest thrill to me, especially, is when I deal with young children who have been treated with chemo, radiation, which that's what people die of. They don't die of cancer. They die of treatments. And then to help those kids to understand, look, eat asparagus. Why? Well, the histones and the other nutritional components will clear the cancer out of your body. And then all of a sudden you see these 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 20-year-olds who are told that they were going to pass on. And they're perfectly healthy and fine. That's what drives me.
All right. Don, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. I look forward to a visit from you next time you're in Brisbane, and another a full hour on air or on Let's Talk with myself here.
Thank you so much, Tiger, and thanks, everyone. And we'll talk to you soon.
You will. Bye-bye. You have enjoy your visit on Aboriginal land.
Perfect.
You have a great day. Bye. Thank you. Don Tolman joining us today. And, if you want to make a call, 3892-0188. Have you got any comments? Don is gone. We were lucky to get him for that long. But he will be back at some stage, let's hope. But certainly interesting. It's certainly conflicting. Like I said, what he embraces, what he promotes advocates for, is in direct conflict with everything that you know. And I'm sure he's upset a few people, but there's a number of people out there that think Fantastic. About time we heard something like this. We've got a caller on the line. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good day, Tiger. It's Doug McCracken. But I just listened to your conversation with that lad then. He's pretty switched on, that bloke. Talking about the vitamin K injection, both my son and daughter. I was forced to give them to them when they were born. That's going back about 30-odd years ago. And, a lot of what he said makes sense, that fella, I tell you now.
Makes a lot of sense, yes.
Certainly does, buddy. Mate, you have a good day and enjoy listening to your program.
Good on you, mate. You have a good day, brother. Thanks for your call.
On your side.
Bye. And we have another caller. Hello. Who have we got this morning?
Oh, good morning. This is David. I was lucky enough to catch your show this morning and I was very impressed with what the fellow was saying.
Yes, he certainly got a different message, hasn't he?
I'd be interested to know what the Diabetes Foundation's reactions would be to some of it.
Not only the Diabetes Foundation, the drug companies, the doctors, the whole health industry. I mean, we know exactly what they'd say, that he's a fraud. They would say that'd be probably one of the first things they'd say. But,
I'm a very strong believer in the natural health.
Right.
And I believe that you should always try the natural health first. But I get into a lot of trouble for saying that.
Yes, well, mate, you stick to 98.9 FM and you'll hear more of it.
Yeah, and congratulations to you and Jamie and the others. I can't always listen to you all the time because I'm a shift worker, but congratulations. You do a tremendous show and a tremendous job.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for the call. It really makes it worthwhile when people like you appreciate what we do. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have a good day. And we have another caller. And I must say, Google Don Tolman, T-O-L-M-A-N, Don, D-O-N, T-O-L-M-A-N. You Google Don Tolman, and there's just ample material there that you can read. Hello.
Hi, Tiger.
Yes.
Oh, someone else.
Who have I got? Yep. Tiger Bales here. Who are we?
Grace,
turn your radio down. Grace, we've got a big echo in the background. Turn your radio down, please.
Yes, I can hear that.
Good.
Okay.
Turn that down, and then we can have a bit of a yarn, see what you got to say.
Right, that's right. That's
now,
right.
Grace, what would you like to say?
Oh, look, that was really interesting, Tiger. I've never listened to anything like that before, and I'm 78 years old, and I'd be really interested to buying a book if he's written a book.
He's got some amazing stuff. Have you Googled? Have you got access to a computer or younger ones around you? Go to the library. Get somebody to Google Don Tolman for you. And he does have some amazing three big, thick books. They're just amazing, they are.
Oh, that sounds great. Yes, it's amazing. I took everything in, you know, that he was talking about.
Good on you. If you missed anything, you can listen again at 6 o'clock this evening and you will hear a repeat.
Okay, then.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much,
Tiger. That's great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, you too.
Hello, how are we? You want to make – hello. We want to make a comment? You're on Let's Talk Live.
Just saying with – this is Samantha here. I've just done a series of interviews with Don and I'm doing another series on Thursday. So by the end of the year, people will be able to get a DVD with all this information on of Don as opposed to his books. It's much easier to, you know, to be able to have an audio and view him. So,
good one, Sam.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Good one. No worries. I'm sure you'll be able to let people know. Thanks a lot for your call.
I'd like to invite you on the program too to do an interview with him.
All right. Well, we'll have to talk about that too and see what can be done. Thanks for your call. Yeah. I got the phones. Okay. I just lit up. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who have I got?
Mate, how are you?
Who's this, sorry?
Jason.
Jason. What would you like to say, Jace?
Look, Tiger, I'll have to be the dissenting voice in all of this and a variety of other childhood illnesses that immunisation has mostly dealt with. And
yeah.
I just wonder about, certainly, you know, in modern medical science, in Western medical science, there are some negatives. I appreciate that. And I also believe the drug companies are operating a little bit deceitfully in many respects.
Yes.
But nonetheless, you know, to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, there's certainly some wonderful advances in Western medical science that I don't think we can deny.
Yeah, no, fair enough, mate. That's we all have the right to our own views and stuff, and it's good that you've got yours, certainly.
Cheers, Tiger.
Thank you, mate. You have a good one. Bye now.
Bye now.
Hello, welcome to Let's Talk. Al.
Hi, Tiger. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Inspired, mate. Very inspired. You know, sweet potatoes. I would have loved to ask Don about that. The other one, he has really inspired me to do something about these flaming cigarettes, you know. Air, number one.
Yeah, mate.
How do you spell Don Tolman again, please?
D-O-N.
And does he have a website?
He does. Just Google Don Tolman. D-O-N-T-O-L-M-A-N. Thanks for your call, Al. You have a great day.
Peace be with you.
Thanks, buddy. And Roachie. Hello, Roachie. How are you?
Yeah, mate. How are you, Tiger?
What are your thoughts, Roachie?
Well, Tiger, as they say, these drug companies only experiment on you with tablets to see whether they do work or not. And if they work, good, they put them on the market. If they don't work, they kill you.
Yeah.
But as that gentleman says, if you have chemotherapy, you do get sick after it. So the drug is what's making you sick, isn't it?
That's right, mate. And that immunisation makes those babies sick too.
Yeah.
Vaccination.
I can know, that gentleman was saying about polio and that. I had a mate of mine who had polio back in the 1950s, 60s. Mate, did they put some needles into his leg and things into his leg in the 1950s and 60s? It was unreal. And he was only about 10 year old.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that they do. Look, my father was a guinea pig for TB, one of the 20 that they experimented on. He lived 13 and a half years after. They put golf balls, 24 golf balls in his back. They tried that. They cut him open twice. Collapsed one lung and took 9 ribs out. Mm. And today they got cures. You know what I mean?
That's right. Did you see the show on, I think it was 60 Minutes the other night, on sugar?
No, mate.
I wonder if anyone saw that.
Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night.
Yeah, no, I was out Sunday night.
Certainly lifted the lid on sugar. It's as healthy for you as cigarettes are, without a doubt.
Well, I have a bit of sugar, but I don't have a great deal of sugar, and I don't smoke, so it's...
All right.
But as that gentleman said, is he an Indian shaman?
No, he's not that I know of. He's a white fella from the States that's grown up with a grandfather from Europe somewhere that did their own gardening and stuff like that. And
believed in nature.
Went off to university, wanted to be a brain surgeon. So he went off and started studying in a university and then saw that there was a lot of death and sickness related to this health, the health industry trying to heal and cure.
Well, he's got it right in what he says in a lot of things. I thought he might have been the voice of him. I thought he might have been an Indian shaman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A health healer.
Yep, yep.
I told the lady today, she said she's got sinus. I said, well, 1 teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, put it in water, put it up your nose 4 times a day, you get rid of sinus, hay fever, catarrh, and if you've got vertigo, it does the same thing.
That's a teaspoon of bicarb soda.
Soda, half a teaspoon of salt.
All right.
Put it in water. Put it up your nose with a nose drop about 4 times a day. It'll cure sinus, catarrh, hay fever, and if you've got vertigo.
All right. That's interesting. Mate, there's lots of these old remedies around. Yeah, lots of them.
Well, I used to suffer from sinus and used it, and a few other people I know have told them that, and it's cured it.
All right. Good on you, Roachie. Thanks for that. If anybody's got... Thank you, buddy. You have a good day. There's Roachie. And there you go. He's saying, you know, an old remedy, a teaspoon of bicarb soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, mix it up and with an eyedropper, put a few drops of that in up your nose. Put it up your nose, not with a rubber hose, 4 times a day. And I don't mean to sort of trivialise this, but my point here is there are lots of those older remedies around that our parents and grandparents, be we black fella, white fella, doesn't matter. But our parents and grandparents and generations beyond that did utilise these, and this was practice, things like this, for our mob, for relief and stuff like that. 3892 0188 if you want to make a call. Yes, I've got a caller on the line. Hello, how are you? Who have I got? Hello? You're on air. Yeah. You're still with us? Are you dropping in and out? You got a real bad line, brother.
Okay, brother, I'll call you back.
Who have we got? Let's see how we go.
Tigger.
What do you want to say?
Yeah, who's that fella talking on the radio before, mate?
Don Tolman. Dontolman. White fella from the States.
Thanks, brother.
Righto, buddy. Have a good day.
You too, mate.
Bye.
Just thinking, you know, it's, I think it's 26 years since the death of my dad. He died of pancreatic cancer on this day some 26 years ago. I've got a caller on the line. Hello, how are you? Who have we got?
It's Constance.
Constance. What would you like to say, Constance?
I'd just like to say the people talking about the polio was that when polio used to be given, it was given as a drink, and now it's given as a cocktail in a mix of four shots straight into the bloodstream. And also, children now are given approximately around about 32 shots by the age of one. They just keep developing more and more drugs and more. They keep developing more and more immunizations all the time, which is quite scary, actually.
Very scary, yes.
Yeah. So that's what... Yeah, polio was different before when it used to be given to people because it was just as a little drink. But now they've mixed it with four others.
Oh, you're talking about the vaccination, that purple,
right,
there was
yes.
a purpley-pinky-coloured thing that you'd get at school
That's
back
right.
in the late
they
50s,
don't do
60s.
They do it like that anymore, which was safer. They do it
right.
in a cocktail with four
It'd
other
give you
shots.
A cocktail now, eh? Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's outrageous.
With the DPT one, the diphtheria.
Yep, it's outrageous, isn't it? It is scary stuff.
Right, and so it's like giving any vaccination in a big cocktail like that is much more dangerous than... in a series of individuals.
Constance,
because
thanks.
Because the child's
yes.
immune system, they do it at 6 weeks. They haven't even developed
they haven't even developed
until they're 1 year old anyway.
Yeah, yep.
So it's just absolutely scary for all children.
Thank you very much for your call. I think the message here is do some research before you go down that path. It's as simple as that. Look at the options, but do some research. Do your homework, please. That's as simple as that. I'm back tomorrow. Make sure you join us for Let's Talk on your First Nation station.